Broadcasting from the secret military base in Summit Township. This is On the Docket with Connor Dockery.
What do you think you are? I am.
Weekdays at noon on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM. Presented by Knutson Sporting Goods, your outdoor convenience store. Kettlebell Hotspot, where your functional fitness begins. Bud Light, Bella Notte Ristorante, and Tri-County Water. That's good water.
Welcome into On the Docket on a Thursday edition of the program. You already know what that means. We are broadcasting live from downtown Jackson, featuring such scenic views as wildfire smoke and homeless tents. Beautiful day today to be broadcasting in downtown Jackson. It is, of course, the Dog Days of Summer Week, as I have nicknamed it. The 1 week out of the entire year with the least amount going on in the wide world of sports. But that's okay. We've got plenty lined up and in store for the show today. We've got my Michigan and Michigan State segments coming up on the program today. I had to push those back. I was going to do those yesterday, but I had to push those back to today because of the Steve Yzerman news that came out yesterday with the Detroit Red Wings, which, speaking of Steve Yzerman, going to be going through more in-depth some of the moves that he made during his tenure with the Detroit Red Wings, and I'm going to be grading Steve Yzerman's tenure with the Detroit Red Wings, and then, of course, World Cup, Pistons, Summer League, free agency, NBA, NHL, all that fun stuff to round out the show today. So without further ado, going to jump right into it. Going to be grading Steve Yzerman's tenure with the Detroit Red Wings. So came on with the franchise in the spring of 2019. Obviously lost his job yesterday. Not immediately clear who initiated it. Was this a step down by Steve Yzerman, like a voluntary, like, okay, you know, I'm not the guy for the job anymore? Or was this initiated by the Red Wings? Or was it maybe a mutual thing? That was not immediately made clear with the news reports that came out yesterday. All the different articles that I've read don't really make it clear either. In either case, Steve Yzerman's general manager career with the Detroit Red Wings spanning about 7 years. So we got more than enough sample size to judge this guy off of. I'm going to be grading him in three different areas: trades, signings, and drafting. And I did kind of touch on the drafting aspect on the program yesterday, more or less, but I'm still going to go over it here in a little bit more detail, a little bit more depth. So why don't we just start there, the draft. How has Steve Yzerman drafted with the Detroit Red Wings? So going back to 2019, because it was about April 2019, that was when he officially got hired on. And so the 2019 NHL draft is the first draft that we got to see. First real moves we got to see with Steve Yzerman was the 2019 NHL draft. So here we go. Notable draft picks from this year. Sixth overall, Mo Sider. I think we can give that an A. You get your franchise defenseman right there, one of the best defensemen in the entire NHL, and in my opinion got shafted in the Norris Trophy race. I think he deserved to be named a finalist for his performance this past season. We also got Albert Johansson in the second round and Elmer Soderblom in the sixth round. Now, while Soderblom didn't ultimately work out with the Red Wings, I mean, looking at his performance with the Pittsburgh Penguins after he got traded this past season, obviously, getting a guy like that in the sixth round, definitely a good pick right there. But especially the Mo Sider pick right there, definitely a good pick right there. 2020, the fourth overall pick, which this was the year that the Red Wings got shafted in the draft. They were historically bad that year. They were obviously the worst team in the NHL and one of the worst teams in Detroit Red Wings history, rivaling that of 1985-1986. Yes, they were that bad in 2020. So, could have got the number one pick. They didn't. Ended up picking the number four, but I would still say a success, even better than who they could have gotten, arguably, with the number one pick that year, Lafreniere, with the New York Rangers. They ended up with a Lucas Raymond, which that's an A pick right there. So other than that, the second round, three guys in the second round, William Wallander, Theodore Niederbach, and Cross Hannes, if I see that correctly. Yeah, they have not played yet. So, but hey, based on the first round pick, it's really mostly the first round picks that have landed more or less with Steve Yzerman. As we continue to go along here, 2021 drafted Simon Edvinson at sixth overall, which was a great pick, of course. You know, you get your other franchise defenseman, and you got a solid 1-2 combo right there to lead your top line defense for the Red Wings. So a good pick right there with Edvinson. And then obviously this was the infamous draft with Sebastian Kosa, where the Red Wings traded that pick for Kosa, which I'm going to go more into the trades in a little bit. And then so you got your two first round picks there. Second rounder Shai Buium hasn't even played in the NHL yet. And then third round Carter Mazur, Jackson, Michigan's own Carter Mazur, who has only played in 9 games in his NHL career. So jury's still out on him, on how he continues to progress as a NHLer. Jumping ahead to 2022, Marco Kasper, very promising career so far. Had a pretty solid rookie season. A little bit of a sophomore slump last year, as it's come to turn out. He turns out played through a pretty bad knee injury, which really hampered his abilities. And I think when you look at it wasn't evident at the time, but we learned at the end of the season that was the case. And now looking back, it's like that totally makes sense that he was playing hurt. So, you know, jury's still on our Marco Kasper. Hopefully he's able to bounce back this upcoming season and continue to develop. 2023, this is when we get into kind of gray territory. You definitely got you landed a pick right here, a great pick. Seventh round, Emmett Finney, who was, he was a surprise, came out of nowhere, and played the entire season last year with the Red Wings as a rookie. Getting a guy like that in the seventh round is a unbelievable steal. But first round, you get two first round picks this year. You got Nate Danielson and Axel Sandin Pelikka, who jury's still out there. Very young players, by the way, in both those two guys, to see how they develop as well. And then still need more time to see how Steve Yzerman has done in the last couple of years in the NHL draft. You got Michael Brancek Nygaard, played 14 games with the Red Wings last year, and then in the last 2 years in the draft, Carter Bear, and then obviously this year, J.P. Hurlbert. Going to have to see how those guys develop, as well as a couple of other notable prospects in that time. Specifically, Trey Augustine, goalie, got him in the second round in 2023. We'll see how he progresses, if he becomes maybe if I'm holding out hope that Trey Augustine can become the franchise goaltender for this Red Wings team, because that's what this team really needs. One of the main things that this team needs. Two biggest needs, I would say: franchise goaltender, and then forward depth. Two biggest needs for this Red Wings team, in addition to some other specifics, 5-on-5 goal scoring and such. But we'll see. I would say overall in the NHL draft, I would give Steve Yzerman an A. I mean, especially you're consistently getting quality guys in the first round. I might knock that down to an A minus just with the specific Sebastian Kosa pick. You move on from a guy that you draft in the first round that early. This is either one of two things. That's either a bad move on the Red Wings' part, which we won't know that for sure until years down the line when we see how Sebastian Kosa turns out, being traded to the Utah Mammoth. So that's if he turns out to be a great goaltender, obviously this is going to be a bad move for the Red Wings. But also that depends on how J.P. Hurlbert develops with the Red Wings. So we can't really make that determination until several years down the line. But at the very least, at this point, bad pick. First rounder, you're already moving on from him. The Red Wings directionally are going in a different way with their goaltender depth. So that's really at this point, you know, you could probably call a miss at this point. You could, depending on years down the line, change that to a bad trade in general. But as of right now, we could call that one a miss. But in terms of the players that we do know enough about, you know, Marco Kasper, we'll see how he continues to develop, especially after his injury. But especially those first couple of years, Mo Sider, Lucas Raymond, Simon Edvinson, those are great draft picks. And then getting the steal with the Emmett Finney seventh round in 2023, I think those are good picks. So I would say I think A-, I think, would be a fair grade for Steve Yzerman in terms of the draft. You can't really knock him on his drafting abilities there. Now let's go to trades and signings. So I've compiled a list. This is not every move because there's a lot of minor moves in there, you know, shipping picks around or minor players that, you know, haven't even appeared in the NHL. I'm not going to go through those, but I am going to go through, you know, some of the more notable moves, in my opinion, that I've seen. So going back to 2019, so this is very early on in the Iser plan. Red Wings acquire Robbie Fabbri for Jacob Delarose. I think that's a good move right there. Delarose, obviously, a little bit of an inflated contract. Robbie Fabbri get some quality years of offensive production from him. So I like that move as well. And then early 2020, February 23rd, Red Wings dump Mike Green's contract to the Oilers. So just getting that guy's contract off the books was a good move as well. And you'll see that's a consistent thing. Steve Yzerman, with his trades, specifically salary dumps, this guy, he did a lot of work, and he had a lot of work to be done in those early years, taking over, getting a lot of bad contracts off the books. That said, a couple of signings, he also did bring on a couple of bad contracts onto the books, which we will see moving on to later 2020, October 10th. So this is the 2020-2021 season. Red Wings sign Thomas Greiss to a two-year $3.6 million contract, which I'm not a fan of. A little bit of a high price point for what Thomas Greiss provided at goaltender for the Red Wings. Even so, it's like not even really a quality backup, in my opinion. I mean, okay, first season, and that's a common thing with the Red Wings as well in this time, inability to get a consistent goaltender. That's why I say it's important the Red Wings need to get a franchise goaltender, because it's been a common theme in Yzerman's tenure with the team is a constant 1 to 2 year experiments with guys where you have a consistent thing. Thomas Greiss, the first example of this, where you have a guy who's solid for the first year that he's with the Red Wings, and then the second year, complete drop off. They're terrible. And that's my big fear this season with John Gibson. Of course, his hot streak in the middle of the year played a big role in the Red Wings' hot streak that they played as a team. And then, you know, so he had a pretty solid season with the Red Wings. I fear that trend is going to continue, and we're going to see a drop-off season for John Gibson in this upcoming season. So anyways, Thomas Greiss, not really a fan of that deal at that time. Extend Anthony Mantha, four-year, $5.7 million average. You don't need me to tell you that was a definite overpay for Anthony Mantha at that point. Especially they end up moving on from him a couple of months later. April, pretty big trade for the Red Wings with later implications that we'll go over. The Red Wings trade Anthony Mantha to the Washington Capitals for Vrana, Panik, and two first-round picks that eventually turned into Nikita Buchelnikov and Wyatt Johnston. That's right, Wyatt Johnston. Obviously, when you trade picks, you don't know who specifically are going to, you know, if those picks are even going to turn out. But, wow, end up flipping Mantha for Wyatt Johnston in itself is a massive upgrade. But to get another first-round pick and two other players for him ended up being a very good trade for Steve Yzerman, especially getting Anthony Mantha's inflated contract that he just signed him to off the books, which, you know, Anthony Mantha never really panned out to the potential that he showed early on. And you can't really use this past season as an indication because that's way, way into his career. And, you know, there's not really any indication that that's going to be sustainable. Could be just a one-off, a good season for Mantha that he had this past season. But anyways, moving on to summer 2021, June 23rd, Red Wings trade said first-round pick that turned into Wyatt Johnston, and second and fifth-round picks to move up 8 spots in the first round to draft Sebastian Cosa, which, again, at that time, Red Wings trying to knock down their, you know, their franchise goalie, goalie of the future. And, you know, a lot of these pick trades, you can't really fully grade until years down the line. But at this point, you don't need me to tell you that we're years down the line. We can officially tell you with this trade right here ended up being a bad move. You know, Wyatt Johnston, look at the player that he's developing. Not only that, what he's become so far, but he still has some further growth that he could be made. That can be made there with the Dallas Stars. But Wyatt Johnston, what he's turned into, and then Sebastian Cosa, you know, he only appeared in one game with the Detroit Red Wings, and they end up moving off of him in favor of some other goaltender prospects with the organization. So that ended up being a pretty bad move right there for Steve Yzerman. Other moves, Red Wings sign Jakub Vrána, 3-year, $5.25 million average overpay, bad move right there. And then another trade later on in March 2022, trading Nick Leddy and Witkowski for Sundquist, Wallman, and a pick. Like this trade right here. I was a fan of Wallman when he was with the Red Wings, and then getting a pick out of it as well. Not bad right there. Moving on into summer of 2022, trading a third-rounder to the Blues for Ville Husso. I think a pretty good move. Ville Husso at that time showed promise as a backup with the Blues. And he was solid for a year or two with the Red Wings. Again, until he had that inevitable drop-off, and then he was absolutely miserable with the Red Wings. 2022, overpay alert. Overpay alert. Andrew Kopp, 5-year, $5.6 million average. Now, Andrew Kopp, I think, is pretty solid as a hypothetical third-line center. But to be paying that much money for a backup center is a little bit of an overpay, especially when he's not a backup, like second-line center quality, in my opinion. I like him. He's hypothetically a third-round guy, or a third-line guy. So that's an overpay right there. Not a fan of that signing. Moving on to March 2023, Red Wings trade Philip Roenick and a fourth-rounder to the Canucks for a first-round pick and a second-rounder. So salary dump Philip Roenick. I like this trade as well. Get his salary off the books, and you get obviously a first-rounder in exchange for Roenick. I mean, that's huge. And that first-round pick ended up turning into Axel Sandin Pelikka. So I think that ended up being a really good trade as well. March 2nd, 2023, salary dump slash expiring deal. Got to get something for him. Tyler Bertuzzi traded to the Bruins for first and fourth round picks. So, you know, we won't have the jury out with that first round pick until till later, how that turns out. But able to get something for an expiring contract right there. I was a fan of Tyler Bertuzzi when he was with the Red Wings. I think a lot of people were. But I think with that season, you know, trying to salvage something out of what could have been nothing. So pretty decent move right there, I would say. Moving on to summer of 2023, we've got probably the worst signing of Steve Yzerman's tenure. One of back-to-back worst signings of Steve Yzerman's tenure with the Detroit Red Wings. The same day, too, July 1st, 2023. Red Wings signed Justin Hall to a 3-year, $3.4 million average deal, and then signed JT Compher to a 5-year, $5.1 million average deal. Beyond brutal. You're paying $5.1 million average for a fourth line forward in JT Compher. Absolutely brutal. Brutal signings right there. Justin Hall, that was a horrendous contract. The Red Wings ended up moving on from him later in a trade. Actually, this past season, which we'll get to in a moment. So, yeah, beyond brutal signings right there, but ended up making a great move just a couple days later, a little over a week later, July 9th, 2023, Red Wings trade Dominik Kubalík and that Bruins first-round pick that they got in the Bertuzzi trade, plus a fourth-rounder for Alex DeBrincat, which excellent move right there. Alex DeBrincat, you get a 40-goal scorer this past season, routinely 30-goal scorer, excellent goal scorer in general, and ends up able to re-sign him for several years. So that was a good trade right there, getting Alex DeBrincat into a Red Wings uniform. Meanwhile, later, November 2023, that's when they signed Patrick Kane. Very low salary, low-risk move for Patrick Kane at that time. We didn't know how he was going to be performing coming off of that hip resurfacing surgery that he had. Historically, players do not really bounce back well from. And given what Patrick Kane has been able to contribute to the Red Wings, that ended up being a big signing as well, and he's been able to stay with the Red Wings, obviously, you know, for multiple seasons. We'll see if he stays this offseason. He's still a free agent. But that was a good signing right there. Kind of a bad extension right here, February 2024, extending Michael Rasmussen, four-year, $3.2 million average. Another guy that, that hasn't really panned out what you would want, especially for a first-round pick. And I'm not really a big Rasmussen guy. Not really many moves the following two seasons. June 25th, 2024, trade Wallman and a second-round pick for future considerations for the Sharks. And I like Jake Wallman when he was with the Red Wings. And future considerations, I don't even know if they have an update on what those future considerations were, but maybe an IOU from the Sharks. Who knows? And then 2024, Red Wings sign Vladimir Tarasenko, two-year, $2.7 million average. Unfortunately, he didn't turn out with the Red Wings. He performed a lot better this past season with the Minnesota Wild. I think if the Red Wings got that version of Tarasenko, would have been a great signing, but for what they got for him, not a good signing right there. And the moves that they made this past season, Red Wings trading a Mrazek, who they got at the trade deadline the year before, and second and fourth round picks for John Gibson, which what you got for John Gibson ended up being a pretty good move, but I'm just hesitant on what John Gibson is going to be this upcoming season for the Red Wings, given the recent trend that I've discussed about with Red Wings goalies last several years. Pretty solid first season, and then a complete fall apart second season, and then they fade away into obscurity, especially with John Gibson getting a little bit up there in age. So, and then last but not least, most recent trade that they had for this past season, trading Justin Hall and a Nikita Bochelnikov to the Blues with two picks as well, including a first rounder for Justin Falk, which I think the Red Wings did need to do something, needed to shore up defensively. I like Justin Falk, going to have him for another season this upcoming season. And you get Justin Hall's horrific contract off the books as well. We'll see, but Bochelnikov, if he develops into anything, and obviously those picks that end up coming out of this trade as well. But we'll see. Again, any move involving those picks, you got to kind of wait until years down the line to see what they turn into, especially in retrospect with the Wyatt Johnston trade with Sebastian Kosa. That, yikes. Trades that did not age particularly well. So contract signing, I would give Steve Yzerman a C, honestly. Not really a fan of several of these signings that he has made in the last several years, and then trades as well. Again, I would say early on, getting some of those horrific contracts off the books have been he's good in that department, salary dumps. And at the same time, you end up giving yourself bad contracts that you then need to dump, which is, again, a la Anthony Mantha, a la Justin Hall. And obviously haven't been able to get JT Compher. Nobody's going to be taking that one. Trades, what grade would I give? Obviously the standout trade that has worked out so far has been the Alex DeBrincat trade. That's been a very good trade as well. And then flipping Hrenek for a couple first-round picks, first-rounder being Axel Sandin Pelikka. That's a pretty good trade as well. That stands out to me. Those two moves, but otherwise, that Kosa stuff, trading that pick that turned into Wyatt Johnston for Kosa, that's in retrospect a horrific trade. And we can comfortably say that right now, especially because you move on from Kosa a couple years later when he only plays one game with you. So trades. Again, signings, contracts, I would still give a C. Trades. Salary dumps, good. Some other trades, hit and miss. Trades, maybe a C plus. I would say best case B minus some of these better trades. But, I don't know. So I like Steve Yzerman's drafting. He's helped get some solid core foundation pieces with the Red Wings. Some of those salary dump trades help get some of these bad contracts off the books. And As I said yesterday in the show, the Red Wings today are in a much better position going forward than when Steve Yzerman walked in. That said, struggling to take the next step. As you mentioned, the moves have dried up the last couple of years. Not really doing much in the offseason, especially with how much salary space that you have available. You gotta capitalize that. You gotta do something. Gotta do something with that available salary. And the fact that he hasn't been able to capitalize and do anything with that the last couple of years, it's worrying. Especially when you're trying to break through, make the playoffs, break this playoff streak, and how this past season turned out horrific. So overall, grading Steve Yzerman's tenure, I would give it probably that C+, B- range. You know, has made some good moves, especially in the draft, but that inability to help this organization take the next step has been troubling. And then, as you mentioned, the lack of moves, I think, has been the standout thing in the last couple of years. Has been the other standout as well. So C+, B-, that's what I'm giving Steve Yzerman. Hopefully the next guy that they get in place can help this organization take the next step. This is On the Docket. We are broadcasting
downtown.
And we're chatting Michigan. Michigan State on the other side. Some latest news we've gotten from both schools. This is On the Docket, back in 3 minutes.
On the Docket with Connor Dockery, weekdays at noon.
On the Docket, brought to you by Knutson's Sporting Goods, Bonotti Ristorante, Bud Light, Tri-County Water, and our friends at Kettlebell Hotspot. You know how much wear and tear that comes with a standard workout? You know, all this weightlifting, weight training, especially if you don't stretch properly. It's a lot of wear and tear on your joints and such. Well, Kettlebell Hotspot can give you a nice low impact exercise that you could build raw functional strength that helps you in your day-to-day life, plus core stability. You can improve your cardiovascular endurance and metabolic conditioning and enhance your mobility, balance, and coordination. You get it all right there at Kettlebell Hotspot. Join the team today. That's Kettlebell Hotspot in Spring Arbor, where your functional fitness begins. So I've been having to push this off. I've been waiting to compile it a little bit. But a lot of news lately coming out of both Michigan and Michigan State. So I'm going to be doing a Michigan segment right here, Michigan news. And then in the next segment, going to be doing Michigan State, some of the news coming out of East Lansing. But first to Ann Arbor for Michigan. So some stuff going on today. So actually going to be a meeting today. Michigan Regents expected to discuss the investigation into the culture of its athletic departments today. So we're going to be hopefully getting the results of that, what comes of that. And as part of the review, a decision on the future of athletic director Ward Manuel is anticipated in the coming days as well, which Manuel has spoken out that he acknowledged that his job could be in jeopardy, but he says it's not his intention to leave. He wants to stay in Ann Arbor. He wants to stay with Michigan. Quote, I love this place. My blood, sweat, and tears are somewhere in Michigan Stadium and on the fields of play and in Schembechler Hall and on the track. So if it's up to me to face the challenges that I face to help the student athletes, the coaches, the staff to be successful, then that's the challenges I'm going to face. Nobody said this job is going to be easy. And whenever I leave Michigan, whoever steps in here next shouldn't assume Michigan is easy. End quote. So especially with this investigation, the athletic culture investigation, you know, mostly stemming from the whole Sharon Moore debacle from December and, you know, how that whole situation played out with that affair, Paige Shiver, and how, you know, that ended up in Sharon Moore getting arrested and all this other stuff that came out with Sharon Moore and his time there. And, you know, how many people within the athletic department knew? Is this a more widespread problem, which I don't think it is, like anything else going on there with Michigan in that department. But it also stems off of some of the other things that have gone on the last couple of years at Michigan as well. High profile, especially being specifically the Connor Stallions stuff that had gone on there. Which, I'm really curious to see how that, some of the results of that investigation, some of the findings. Again, they're supposed to be having that discussion today to see what's going on there in terms of the culture within the Michigan Athletic Department. So we'll watch that space. Hopefully we'll have an update later today, if not tomorrow, on what comes of that. Meanwhile, we do have some other news with Michigan basketball specifically, as we do have a new head coach. It is official that it's going to be Mike Boynton Jr. for Michigan basketball. Promoted up, full-time head coach. He was given the interim tag initially once Dusty May had left and became the head coach at the Dallas Mavericks. So it is official now. Mike Boynton Jr. is the new head coach of the Michigan Wolverines basketball team, the defending national champions. And they're adding Brown head coach Mike Martin to be the be an assistant coach with Michigan as well. So a couple of moves there on the coaching staff. Otherwise, the other question that, I mean, the main question that we have of this is how much continued success is this Michigan program going to continue to have on the basketball side with Dusty May moving on? You know, how quick he was able to turn around the program from really a doldrums of the Big Ten to national champions in only two seasons. How much of that success is going to continue now that Dusty May has moved on? The other big question really has already been answered. It was how many current players are going to move on and look to transfer out as a result of the Dusty May going to the Dallas Mavericks situation? And answer, not a whole lot. The only one who has entered the transfer portal has been LJ Kaysen, which, if you remember, pretty big bench guy with the Wolverines this season, but ultimately sustained an injury, was not there for for eventually winning the national championship, but that's still a pretty big part of the team during the season. So he enters the transfer portal, but pretty much everybody else is staying on. The big one being Elliot Cadeau. He's sticking around. He was a massive part of this team, obviously, during the national title run. And then their five-star recruit, Brandon McCoy Jr., he is also going to be sticking around with the program as well, which I think is a pretty good sign. I think that just reaffirms the players' commitments to this program as a whole, and that it wasn't necessarily tied to Dusty May specifically, because we've seen with these college programs, you know, sometimes the entire attractiveness of playing for some of these schools is directly tied to who the head coach is. And that's not just true on the basketball side, but it's also true on the football side as well. I mean, just look at it with Michigan football, for instance. Kyle Whittingham coming over from Utah, he was able to bring some key guys over from his Utah program immediately over with him to Michigan. We see guys that are exclusively tied to a specific head coach. So as great of a head coach as Dusty May is, that at least stands out to me, that these players are committed to the program as a whole and not just specifically with Dusty May. So obviously we'll have to see moving forward beyond just this upcoming season, because this upcoming season, that was going to be the roster more or less in place that Dusty May would have had control over. So we'll see how Michigan not only performs this season. I'm curious the following season, and the let's say like 3 years out, where this Michigan program is. And that'll show us, like, okay, Mike Boynton Jr., how he's doing with this program. And, we'll be able to grade it more specifically at that time. But I think that's a pretty good sign as well for Michigan basketball. There's a lot of players staying on, specifically with the program. Hopefully that could lend itself to another very successful year as U of M tries to defend its national title. We're going to take another timeout. Got some MSU news coming up on the other side, specifically on the AD side. So we'll dive into that. This is On the Docket. We are broadcasting
downtown
on this Thursday, smoky, hazy Thursday edition of the program. Back in 3 minutes.
On the Docket with Connor Dockery, weekdays at noon.
On the Docket, brought to you by Knutson Sporting Goods, kind of a hot spot, Bellinote Responte, Bud Light, and Tri-County Water. And have you checked out JacksonSavings.com? Well, if you haven't, sorry, you've missed out on Sullivan's half-off gift certificates. Those are already gone. So what we do with JacksonSavings.com, we team up with local Jackson-area restaurants. We team up with one at a time, and we offer half-off gift certificates. So with Sullivan's, we did buy one, get one free, $25 gift certificates. We do 100 of these available. 100 of these gift certificates, once they're gone, they're gone. And these went live just this morning at 8:30. So within less than 4 hours, all 100 of these already sold out, which is crazy. The last one that we did, Grand River Brewery, that was a little over a day. So basically 24 hours it took for those 100 to sell. This one, barely 4 hours. And that's what I'm telling you. You got to get on it. JacksonSavings.com. Go there. Check it out. You can see, even though you missed out on Sullivan's, you can see some of the upcoming deals that are available as well. We got Bone Island Grill coming up next week. Bellinote Ristorante, One North Kitchen and Bar coming up down the line as well. So check it out, JacksonSavings.com, and be sure you're signed up so that you don't miss out next time on these half-off gift certificates. JacksonSavings.com. Check it out today. So as I mentioned, we did our Michigan segment. Now it's time for Michigan State. What is some of the news at going down at East Lansing, at Michigan State? So, first things first, I know this was about a month ago that this happened, but Athletic Director Jay Batt moving on, leaves Michigan State to become the Athletic Director with the Kentucky Wildcats, signing a 6-year deal over there. And of course, that was just the latest domino to fall there at Michigan State in terms of the administration over there athletically. As late May, President Kevin Guskowitz left unexpectedly for Clemson. That kind of blindsided the athletic department a little bit. And then obviously Jay Batt's departure as well. With Kevin Guskowitz, he was a big part in getting Jay Batt in place to Michigan State, former athletic director at Georgia Tech. So that was some news that came down within the past month. As a matter of fact, that actually got some comments from Tom Izzo, saying that he was disgusted by those recent moves with Guskowitz and Batt's, Jay Batt moving on. Speaking to reporters at that time, saying, quote, there's other dominoes that get affected when things go wrong like that. I'm very upset about it, and I'm sick of it. So once that, you know, obviously he's been with Michigan State for quite some time, Tom Izzo. And, you know, it affects not only just the basketball program, it affects all the athletic programs right there when you have that sort of turmoil. Especially, it seems like Michigan State getting those guys in place seemed like going in the right direction, but when you're constantly going through athletic directors and other leadership like this, you know, that lack of stability, it's not good. Not good for a top tier D1 program like Michigan State. So we'll see what happens. They have named an interim athletic director. This news coming out more recently within the past week, but John Palumbo has been named the interim athletic director after, obviously, they lost Jay Batt and then Guskowitz within the past month. So Palumbo, CEO of Spartan Ventures, a nonprofit tax-exempt corporation set up to financially support the athletic department. And he was hired by Jay Batt a year ago, and they were working together at Georgia Tech. So that's how the two were familiar with each other. So we'll see what happens. Maybe he gets hired on a full-time basis. And how long this interim tag lasts. But yeah, a lot of turmoil there going on at MSU. Hopefully things stabilize a little bit. And obviously the basketball program is in a bit and is in a good place. I mean, it always is. You can't deny Tom Izzo has that pull. I mentioned in the last segment, you know, some college organizations, college programs, you know, have a massive pull based on head coach alone. I think Michigan State in general on the basketball side definitely has a basketball brand in itself that goes beyond just Tom Izzo, but Tom Izzo specifically is a guy that he's enough of a draw alone. You know, if you have a chance to play for this guy collegiately, you got to take that opportunity if you're a player. So Michigan is going to be fine on the basketball side, but I think the biggest source that I think a lot of people are hoping for improvement for is the football side, especially more than anything. Football side needs to improve as well, especially within the Big Ten. How loaded the Big Ten is year in and year out. So we'll watch that space. Going to take another timeout. One more segment on the other side. World Cup. We are set for the championship match coming up on Sunday with the semifinals. Yesterday, crazy game in the books. This is on the docket. We are broadcasting
downtown,
and we're back in 3 minutes.
On the Docket with Connor Dockery, weekdays at noon.
On the Docket, brought to you by Knutson Sporting Goods, kind of a hotspot, Bellnorthy Ristorante, Bud Light, and Tri-County Water, as well as Pauly's Country Markets. See the deals online, country-markets.com. Sign up for My Market Rewards. Save even more in-store today and get the weekly deals sent directly to your email inbox. That's country-markets.com for Pauly's Country Markets. See one of the convenient locations around Jackson County today. One more segment in store for us on this Thursday, hazy Thursday edition of the program. Thanks, Canada. So, World Cup soccer, crazy semifinal game. I mean, the semifinals have been crazy. So, obviously, Spain, 2-0 shutout against France. Well, yesterday, crazy game. Argentina, this is the team of, like, comebacks. You can't count this team out when they fall behind. I mean, especially their previous comeback, 3-2 over Egypt, was insane. But how about this against England yesterday? England, a goal early on in the second half, going up 1-0. And they like went into full prevent defense. And it was all Argentina the rest of the way. Argentina just a barrage of endless, not only shots, but just great shots. A lot of headers around the goal. I mean, the English goaltender did a great job of stopping a lot of those. But Argentina, in the 85th minute, able to tie it up. And then you can't count out Leo Messi. You can't count this guy out. In stoppage time, 93rd minute, this guy, the ball bounces out, deflects out into the corner, and he pretty much gets it and goes right down. Perfect pass sent right in front of the net, and Argentina able to take the lead. So, man, what's crazy is just the fact that, I mean, England just completely took their foot off the gas. They take the only 1-0. I get it. I mean, World Cup semifinals, you don't ever want to take your foot off the gas, but only 1-0. I can see it 2-0, maybe even 3-0. Take your foot off the gas, okay. But 1-0, especially against a proven comeback team in Argentina, that's crazy. It's a death wish right there. I saw a lot of funny observations with this as well. It's another year, another way that England snatches defeat from the jaws of victory. I saw some people say, I think the best one that I saw, best reaction from this was England suffering a a heartbreaking loss and taking the L on American soil 250 years later. That's spectacular right there. So Argentina moves on to the World Cup final, and this is going to be on Sunday, taking on Spain. Third place match is going to be coming up on Saturday, France and England. I think France probably is going to be taking that one, especially with how England played in this last game. But World Cup Championship, I'll probably try to break this down more in depth tomorrow on the program. But I don't know. My gut says Spain, but with what we've seen with Argentina in this tournament, I don't think you could count them out ever. That's the team that's they can. It reminds me of the Vegas Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup Finals. Not that they were that level of a scrappy underdog per se, but just in terms of you can't count them out. Any sort of deficit doesn't matter. They're going to find a way to pull back in and win that game. I'm going to go with Spain, though. I think Spain is what my gut's telling me. Just from the standpoint of they've been so difficult to score goals on. They've only allowed, what, one goal the entire World Cup? I mean, just been unbelievable. So I'm going with Spain. I think that's who's going to win. But I think it's going to be entertaining, especially with the way that Argentina has played. You just can't count them out. You can't. They're too tough. So that brings us to the end of the program today. On the docket, on this hazy, wildfire smoke-filled Thursday edition of the program, broadcasting from the downtown studio here in downtown Jackson. Obviously, nothing tonight. Tigers will be back tomorrow, starting their series out on the West Coast against the LA Angels. So we'll have that to talk about tomorrow, and obviously Knutson's Outdoors report tomorrow. All that fun stuff. We'll be back at it, but in the meantime, stay cool, stay safe, peace.
If you missed today's installment of On the Docket, podcast it at foxsports1019.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to tune in live weekdays at noon on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM.